The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Ago, we were on AmpCast.com.
This is AmpCast.com.
The dude was going to be arriving.
Just relax.
Well, the dude never showed up.
You bet your bippy.
So I decided, myself...
Jiggity jank, the jiggity jank, the jiggity jank, the jiggity jaggity, jiggity jank, the jerk, the jag, the jag, the jerk, the jerkity jaggity, jerkity jaggity, jerkity jaggity, jank.
Frank Cotolo.
This is me, Frank Cotolo.
And Diabolical Arm.
Hey, this is me, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
We're going to go look for the dude.
Steven DeWild.
Our listeners wished us well. So we finally went to sleep. Which made Arnold very sick. We finally had to have a gunfight with some trolls. Finally, we're on the trail of the dude.
Frank Cotolo makes me smile. Frank Cotolo makes me dance.
Okay, here we go.
Yesterday, Dracula was the most fearsome being the screen has ever seen. Today, tonight, you could be Dracula's next victim.
Something new, yet as old as time.
Come on, Johnny.
A date with the devil.
Are you ready? He's ready. He's waiting to freak you out. Right out of this world.
Died September the 18th, 1872. 100 years ago to the day.
You who witness it must swear before the name of the devil to keep it secret.
Who knows about vampires, for God's sake?
My grandfather died fighting a vampire. The most terrible, the most dangerous vampire of all time.
The year is 1972. A leap year in horror. A vintage year for vampires. The masters of horror to meet again in the 20th century.
Come to me, come Dracula!
The nightmare's over.
I don't think it is.
I have returned.
The Killing Chronicles.
Over.
I don't think it is.
I have returned to destroy
you.
I have returned to destroy you.
The express train to the neo-postmodern world.
That's Skatola over there, you know what I mean?
I have returned to destroy you. I have returned to destroy you.
Neo-postmodernists, you sunburnt sicklemen coming into October make holiday. You think it's late? Well, it's later than you think. The Bard of Broadcasting is now upon the air. Time for another monkey-piloted trip to the moon. No seatbelts are required. We're right here at Y2K Plus 13, the 13th or the 12th. Is it the 13th, the 14th of the millennium? Where are we going, man? Yes, my name is Frank Cotolo, and the man whose name adorns the title of the show, we are chronicling a very special show, as it always turns out to be when Heather Drain is here, and she's here. Tell him, Phil. Tell him.
冰球到冰球，小村到大市， 咸湿屋仔到咸湿中心。 Hi, Cotolo Chronicles.
From ice cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to city, from Othello into every bordello. Do you want me to do it in other languages? Here it is. Cotolo Chronicling. Cotolo Chronicles. Not the, just me. Cotolo Chronicles. What a great show. Because every time, as I said, Heather Drain is here. And this show about Dracula is going to, there's my should never on the radio. Did I tell you that before? I'm a little under the weather, and it's been a long time since I've been under the weather this way, physically under the weather. But germs are germs, and as the season turns, so the germs do find their way into your system. So bear with me, and you know me, adversity. I go right over it and just go right through. I've certainly done this show a lot sicker than I am now. But this Dracula thing, let me give you a little foreword about the whole thing we're going to talk about here. The whole Heather Drain, of course, Mondo Heather, the pop culture queen, Lucille Ball had nothing over this redhead. The redhead of pop culture, the underground queen of princesses, the princess queen of darkness, the whole deal, anything you want to call her, but she's sweet, there's no doubt about that. Here's what was going through my mind, at least one of the things going through my mind, because so much goes through my mind, it's absolutely impossible to keep track or police all that's going through my mind. But when I thought about this Dracula thing, and I was thinking, man, we're going to do a show about Dracula, and then I hear all this talk that went on about this new book written by Bill O'Reilly and the guy who really writes, and Bill O'Reilly and the guys who write, and his ghostwriter, who's not a ghost, he's a guy, and he gives him credit. Thank goodness he does, because he probably knows where to put the punctuation. But here's the deal. This book called Killing Jesus has become controversial only because they're promoting it so much, and things become controversial whenever you got the name Jesus in there anyway, okay? But here's what it dawned upon me when they said something. And I think it was O'Reilly himself who said this. He said, you know, even though this is a historical book, it doesn't get into religious dogma or anything magical or mystical or religiously spiritual. So there's no, you know, miracles and things. So it's about the man, Jesus, the man and his music. He didn't have music. Forget about it. He didn't play an instrument. We know that. We know Jesus did not play an instrument. That we know. But here, he said, of all the people, and there were many, whether you know it or not, or want to believe it or not, many people running around during that time. It was all the craze to say you were the Savior. We're running around, hey, I'm the Son of God, da 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 ding. There were so many of them that this guy Jesus was just one of them. Okay, so but O'Reilly and some other people who really liked the book said, but these all the people who really liked the book believe the Jesus, the other side of Jesus, the spiritual, and so does he. But anyway, listen to this. He said that of all the people, and this one guy stuck out, and he did. This Jesus guy stuck out of all the ones, and he's the one who lasted all the years. He's the one that they built the religion upon. He's the one that no matter what happened, that because of him started holy wars, and he's the one who still today talked about. When you talk about saviors, when you talk about, look, you got Christmas, you don't have any other, right? Everywhere you go, if you talk savior, if you talk Messiah, whatever it is you say to anybody of any religion, they go Jesus. Okay. So now let's look at this. Even though he was an actual man, forget about what you think about anything else that's going on around this, okay? But think about this. This dawned on me, okay? Now this Dracula guy, okay, this character Dracula came from Bram Stoker's book, simple novel. I don't even know if this Bram, you know, would never be able to write another one. That I don't know if he ever wrote another one, but yes, he did, but it's no good. Okay, but this Dracula character has so lasted, and he's based on a real person, Vlad the Impaler, and the history of this guy. He's the guy who got this reputation for being a vampire because he drank blood, okay? You see, I hope you know where I'm getting at here. Okay, now listen to this. Now, just as all the time you mention Savior and you talk Jesus, if you say vampire or you talk about any kind of vampire, blood-sucking, one name surfaces. Dracula. Because there's no one else. And they keep reinventing them. They keep rebooting the Dracula legend. They do sequels. They do they do stage plays. They do cartoons. They do everything. It's always Dracula. Think for one second. Name me another vampire. Gone. So in a certain sense, this Dracula character owns this solitary identification as vampire. And this is what dawned on me. It was like, well, wait a second. Just like Jesus has that, if you just look at it in terms of all the things that might be true, all the legends that go on to the character and the real person, and it's really a very similar situation of a character. And it dawned on me, and I said, you know, but, you know, if so what? So what should we do? I guess I should write Killing Dracula. I think that would be, I should write that book. And then I should make all that money. But who would buy it because Dracula's a bad guy? Who would buy it? Everybody would buy it because Dracula's a popular person. You know, there wouldn't be, maybe you could name some of those Twilight vampires, but those teenagers running around there ain't nothing. If it weren't for Dracula, nothing. And even when you watch that, the teenage kids, I was a teenage Dracula, I think, one. I was a teenage werewolf. I was a teenage Dracula. Okay? Whatever you do, it's Dracula. All right? Dracula. Or the, well, Heather can tell us the rest. But you think about that when we're talking about this character that has so swept and captivated the imagination of mankind, even if it's the opposite way of Jesus. It's the same thing. Legends are attached. You could maybe look, there are people who believe in Dracula. Right? There are people out there believing in Dracula. That's how he became Dracula, because he was Dracul, this guy that drank blood. Okay. And vampires, of course, go back further than Dracula, the actual myth of vampires. So look, and yet you say vampire, you think Dracula. You say savior, you think Jesus. It's the same thing. Now, that being said, we'll sell some books and we'll move on here to get Heather on, because the sooner I get Heather on, the quicker we're going to learn something really true about this whole legend and the way it's marketed and the new Dracula, which is coming up. Another one, a TV Dracula. And a lot of people are going like, oh, wait, I can name you another vampire. And they name that Barnaby guy from Count Barnaby, whatever, No, believe me, you can name other saviors too, in a sense. But you always say one thing, one person, one identification. It's amazing. So when they think of, when they talk about this Jesus thing, you say you could just bring up all sorts of other myths and legends and things that run along the same way, which doesn't demystify Jesus as a religious figure. It just makes it like, well, come up with something else. Yeah, that's because that's true for a lot of things and a lot of characters, not a lot of characters, but for special characters like Dracula. And as you can see, I'm trying to make this point in any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, I say we sell a book.
In a world where reading is dying out, a new champion emerges. Wacky escapades. Parallel universes.
Hello, everyone. This is me, Frank Cotolo.
There's never a dull moment as Frank weaves a tale of a writer making you laugh, chuckle, and learn a bit about life. Pick up License to Scale by Frank Cotolo, now on Amazon for your Kindle.
And remember, Killing Dracula is coming up. I'm going to start writing that tonight. Killing Dracula. And I know, I'm going to get a lot of emails on that. But I'm trying to make a point. I'm not saying anything about... I'm not going to apologize. I'm telling you something that's absolutely true. And that is that there's that as special as you want to make one particular person who lasts through the eons of mankind as identified with one thing, you can do that. Because years, hundreds of years from now, even if the Earth is still here, you'll say Dracula. I think vampire Dracula. That's it. Okay, so that's the deal with that. And the only way to get into anything else about this is to introduce you to the one and only Heather Train. And I think it's time to call her right now. She has a way on her Skype. She's probably expecting another, what, 10 minutes? 11 minutes, she's saying. Oh, he's calling early. That's a bad imitation of her, isn't it? Maybe she's not ready, huh? So I'll be there at 9:30, Frank. Just give me a break. What are you calling me early? See? Hey, let's hold. Oh, what happened? Calling Heather. Yeah. Okay, let's hold on, because I think it's unfair of me to call her when she's not expecting that call. What's going to happen? I just expect it at 9:30. You know, I'm always so particular. I tell everyone 9:30, and then what do? I just couldn't wait to get Heather there. Do you think I was trying to get out of that little a monologue? Because it wasn't. I wasn't. A lot of people have asked me over the past couple of months, I guess, when we're going to have Dr. Popoli on again. I said, well, we're going to have Dr. Popoli on again. It's October. We're moving swiftly into November, which is a lot of things go on because they have. I was notified today that from SRN that we're going to have be on Boxing Day. I guess Christmas falls on a Wednesday, so Boxing Day in Canada is that Thursday. Would be the 26th. I guess we're on the 26th. I haven't looked at the calendar. I was just notified today. Boxing Day, for those of you who don't know about it, is a little firmer than Bagging Day. Yes.
Juiced Talk Radio. Hello. It's juicy. JuicedTalk.com. Hear Frank Cotolo's Cotolo Chronicles.
Imagine if there were companies that made cookies, and they only got together to make like a certain amount of cookies for a certain amount of time, okay?
Transistor by Velvet Steel.
You know, you've got short nipples, you've got long nipples that stick up from the body, you've got big areolas, you've got small areolas, you've got different colors, you've got hair growing off them, you've got everything going on, you've got veiny nipples, you've got all kinds of different things. But for some people, they have really small nipples.
And the Fabulous D Show by me, the Artist D.
You bring this out in me.
I know. And that's why this is so unique, because you could do a million of your own shows.
And I would never do this there, no.
Exactly. You'd never start saying, who did they suck off to get that?
Yes, Heather.
All at Juiced Talk, archived for your listening pleasure. JuicedTalk.com.
There's Heather.
In a world.
Oh, shut up. Not you, Heather.
What's that to say?
No. The timing's a little off there because I called early and you didn't answer, and then here you are, and then I threw that on because I was talking, and here you are, and that's okay. Everything's okay because you're here.
Absolutely. No, I'm sorry about that. I didn't think we were meeting until 8:30.
Exactly. So. That's what I said to everyone. I said, look at this. I'm so particular. I tell everyone 9:30 because you're 8:30 because of the time difference. And then what do? And then I call you at 19 after. That's not fair.
It's all, hey, late, early, we are here, it's beautiful, and how are you doing?
Well, I'm a little under the weather. I caught a cold, and I don't know from where.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm weathering the storm. I think I'm on the other side of this. And even though I'm sick, I face adversity and move on.
you sound good.
Do I?
Yeah.
Okay. I just can't do the high register, so don't expect.
So no mini Ripperton loving you notes.
No,
we're good. We will save that for later.
no BG imitations.
No BGs. Yeah. This will be a BG free night.
Now I was telling everyone in case, because I know you were off there. I'm going to go into this here for a second because you weren't here for the beginning of the show. But this is what I was telling everyone about Dracula, because it dawned on me.
Mm-hmm.
This dawned on me that they were recently talking about, there's a book out called the, you know, the hello.
Hello. You?
Hello. Yeah. What was that? You?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Here's what I'm saying. That they were saying that, you know, every time they talk about Jesus, just even as a person, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Just as a figure, as a person, forget about all the religious stuff, right?
Right.
And they say that, you know, Jesus has lasted through all these eons and eons as just Jesus. I mean, there were plenty of other people who said they were, you know, this, that, and the other thing in terms of God and stuff. But there's always Jesus lasted through everything, okay? And they said, so that's like a lot of people say, especially this new book that's out, kind of says, that just goes to show you that there must be something there, okay?
Okay,
so here's what I was thinking last night as I was telling everybody who heard the beginning of the show. And that is that there are certain characters in fiction, even some based on real people, as is Dracula, who also have maintained a status in terms of they maintain their status. In other words, if you ask anybody, you say Messiah and Savior, and people say Jesus, right?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if you say vampire, nobody thinks of any other name. There's no other names. Everybody says Dracula.
Right.
There's Dracula.
He's the vampire.
Exactly. And this is what I'm telling everyone. This is what I'm saying. I'm saying, hey, you know what? That's not a good argument for deity, because, and there probably are people who believe there's a Dracula. And then he became Dracula based on someone who is real anyway. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that came to my attention was that there are certain characters, they're so powerful, and they're not even, you know, they're not created to be that powerful, but mankind seems to take them and reboot them and turn them around and make them into this, make them into that, put them in, and they take the, and they just, they're just always there. And then the other day I saw there's a Dracula TV show coming on now. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, there's a miniseries coming on NBC with Jonathan Rhys-Meyers.
Another Dracula. It's like, what? You know, it'll never end. Just like Jesus will never end. I don't think Sherlock Holmes will ever end. There's always something with some of these characters. And that's what really makes Dracula so appealing, the fact that he's just always there when you say vampire.
Absolutely. Well, I think part of it is that with Stoker's novel, there's a lot of different elements at play in that book. It's not just a simple, like, you know, oh, no, it's a spooky, sexy vampire. You know, there's a lot of layers to it. I mean, actually, Stoker's book, I mean, Dracula wasn't the suave, sexy, you know, debonair creature that we kind of all, I probably think of with him. I mean, Dracula was a true monster in the book. And, you know, keep in mind that this is Victorian era. So anything that is sexual is not a good thing in Victorian era England. You know, it's the vampirism pretty much in that book is a metaphor, I think, for venereal disease.
Ooh. I wonder, there must be some literary criticism and essays and stuff about, I didn't look it up, but written about the levels, the surface of Dracula in terms of all that, or do you think, or do we know about Bram Stoker? I wonder, do you know where he found out about this Dracula guy that he decided to do this? Do you know much about that history?
I know a little bit. I'm admittedly a wee bit
rusty. Well, I know nothing.
But no, I mean, he was doing some research and found out about Vlad Tepes, a.k.a. Vlad the Impaler, and that was definitely the root. Now, granted, not everybody probably knows this. Anybody that's into horror literature probably does, but, like, the first real literary vampire was from the short story The Vampire by John Polidori, and that character, Lord Ruthven, or Ruthven, I think, is based on Lord Byron.
You see that? Here's a vampire who's the first vampire, and you don't even know how to pronounce it. people don't go around and go, what is this, Dracula? What is this?
Dracula.
Everybody knows it's Dracula, yeah, but this guy didn't even make it, and he was the first one.
Yeah, he was. Now, I'm sure there are, like, myths. There's definitely myths and legends that date back to ancient times that deal with vampirism. As far as modern, I would say, or at least semi-modern literature, you know, he's, yeah, Polidori really set the groundwork. Also, there was La Fanu's Carmilla, which was a female vampire, and So there was kind of some soil tilled, you know, for Stoker to do that book. But of course, Dracula obviously is the one that struck literary gold. And I mean, to this day, obviously people are still entranced with the character.
And so we know that too. Here's the comparison continues, because as I said, there were vampires before Dracula came out. So when he gave a name and a persona to a vampire, because the myths of vampires were around, that's the same thing. As they were waiting for a Messiah when Jesus came along, so Messiahs they already knew about these characters, and the character came along.
Mm-hmm.
But these other guys that you're talking about, they're the guys who didn't make it. Did you know that? Did you know that when Jesus was out there teaching, that it was that there were tons. It was like there was missions in the 60s. There were guys walking all around claiming to be the Messiah. There were a whole bunch of them. He wasn't the only guy. He's just the one that stuck. That's what I mean. And here are these other vampires hanging around. They're other detectives, but, you know, Sherlock Holmes turned out to be the one everyone keeps going back to. Well, Stoker writes this in Victorian, so we're in the 1840s. Where are we in Victorian again? 40s, 50s, is it?
Well, that'd be the late 1800s, like 1891.
Are we still in the Victorian in the 91, really?
Yes. Well, keep in mind, Queen Victoria, I mean, had an amazingly huge oppressive influence.
Yeah, I didn't think it was that long, though, because I know that Thomas Hardy was writing in the 40s and 50s, and that was Victorian, wasn't it?
Well, Hardy's American, isn't he?
But he was writing. No, he's not. Yeah, no, I don't know.
Is
no.
he?
His book. No, he's English. All his books are about England. There's no way he's American. No, I don't know why I second guess myself, because I think you're smarter than I am. That's why.
No, you are so not smarter than I am. I'm a film writer. I was an English major, but, you know, to our dear listeners, keep in mind, that's been a few years.
Hey, listen, just as an aside, we'll go back to that, but just as an aside, have you seen any of this, the Turner Classic Movies documentary, this one with that called the Story of Film?
No, I would love to. Unfortunately, I don't have access to Turner Classic Movie anymore. We had to take a break from having cable. But Turner, I love Turner Classic. I need to see it.
Get on YouTube. Get on YouTube. I think his name is Mark Cousins. He's an Irish guy. Mm-hmm. Is it Mark Cousins? I know he has the most haunting voice, the most subtle and unobtrusive voice. And he knows more about film. You're gonna love this. You got to go there because it covers everything. But it really deals with, like we're talking about, levels, film, people who made film using literary tools, symbolism, and framing of that kind of stuff that we always talk about. Like we're talking about with Dracula. You said venereal disease. The vampire represented venereal disease was going around, and one guy was giving it to everybody.
Well, I mean, I think what it is, I mean, there's definitely a lot of people certainly picked on, and it's not too subtle if you're looking for it. Mm-hmm. There are sexual elements certainly to the vampires in Stoker's book, but it's a tainted sort of sexuality, because it's a thing. Stoker was a classic Victorian gentleman. I think if he saw some of the adaptations of his work now that are highly sort of saucy, he would have been horrified. He would have considered it pornography, because that's just the era he came from.
Well, he might have thought it very freeing.
Well, maybe deep down, but I don't know. Repression does weird things to people. And
so you think he didn't mean? Are you saying that he didn't mean to make these symbols?
Well, I think the sexuality is intended, but I mean, if you read the book, it's not supposed to be sexual in a sensual, erotic sort of way. It's sort of like, I mean, at one point, you know, there's a scene where Dracula makes an incision on his chest and forces Mina to drink his blood. And when she's caught, her immediate reaction is to recoil and yell out the words unclean. You know, that's definitely not like the reaction of someone having a good time. You know, it's almost sort of rapey, really.
Yes, yes. I mean, what else could she have? What else could she have shouted?
But
now that's blood.
but yeah, I mean, I think the sexuality is intentional, but I think the intention of it is that, you know, if you indulge in this sort of behavior, you know, you're going to be marked.
Yeah, yeah.
In a very bad medical kind of way. That's just my. You know,
I know.
Other people have had that theory too, but I agree to it.
Well, as the decades went on, and as it became more, I guess, acceptable to be to show or to more than suggest sexual interpretations, obviously we brought it all the way up to Frank Langella. Look at the difference in how the character. With Dracula, is even in those days that wasn't really very sexy compared to what they did with Langella when they rebooted it on Broadway.
Well, I mean, come on. Well, part of that's Frank Langella. I mean, you know.
Well, yeah, but they did that.
Yeah, that's it.
But that was the deal when they said we're going to do it on Broadway again, because it's originally a play.
Right.
I mean, after the book, when they said we're going to do it again, they went right for that. That angle that we're gonna not make him look like a smelly, horrible, disgusting piece of deadness. We're gonna make him into like a beautiful guy. In fact, look at the comparison. I mean, compare how beautiful he is, and then they pick Laurence Olivier and how old and decrepit the guy who's got to get him.
Mm.
I mean, that's a choice. That's an obvious choice of ugly, not necessarily representing bad, but the ugly is good and the beautiful is bad in that case.
Well, I think the thing with that with the film adaptation is they definitely kind of went a different route a little bit than from the play. Now, if, yeah, obviously Angel was in the Broadway revival, and I think that was kind of like almost like a throwback to the 1920s, because they had, like, obviously it was based on the Hamilton Dean play, but that was also the mid-20s, that's the one that brought us Bela Lugosi. Lugosi was Dracula on stage first, and Lugosi was really right. The first to play Dracula in a seductive, charismatic kind of way. If you see photos of the of actors before Bela on stage that played him, their makeup was all almost surrealistic, mm-hmm. and they're definitely more sort of hideous looking. And here you have Lugosi, who, you know, is this good-looking, incredibly charismatic, beautiful man.
Now I'm going to put the whole theory that I was talking about in terms of characters, Jesus and Dracula. This is all going to completely make sense. Not make sense, but it's really going to. I'm really going to give you a fact that punches through this. Bela Lugosi became popular, the most popular, and they didn't even want him for the movie in the beginning. Remember, he was the guy that played Dracula on stage when it was a hit in right before 31 or 32, correct? 33, something like that, right?
Well, the movie was 31, okay. So it'd be more like late 20s.
Okay, do you know he was already a Broadway actor? Do you know who he played before Dracula?
He played Jesus Christ.
See? Isn't that, now that is really weird, isn't it?
But Bella, that's the thing, Lugosi, and granted, I'll be the first to admit, I'm a total Lugosi fangirl. I have been, this is no joke, my first crush ever, when I was a little girl, was Bela Lugosi. So, that has probably set the tone for the rest of my life.
I know, but you see what I'm saying? Isn't it weird that we bring this thing up, and then we got the guy who made, you know, he didn't make Jesus pop, because Jesus was already popular. But the point is, then he played this other one, and so, and he was, let's face it, Lugosi got stuck no matter what he did in that character, and was, so he became identified with the character, and so the character Dracula took another step towards its own immortality with him.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, to me, to this day, a lot of people, when they think Dracula, the first image that comes to mind is still Lugosi. I mean, that is the intense imprint that he left with that role. Now, I will say this, Lugosi was highly underrated, I think is to this day, because he did get typecast, but he could do other things. He was an immensely talented actor. To see like him play a good guy, I highly recommend the serial Return of Shandu, where he plays a magician. And that's a lot of fun. I mean, Lugosi, he was also in Ninotchka with Greta Garbo,
yes,
and that was a
yes,
comedy.
Yes,
so, I mean,
right. Yes,
Bela could
I
do
know.
All kinds of things. I mean, he was an amazing actor.
Yeah, but once he did that, and even though he did other things, and he was in a lot of those, he was in a lot of movies for Universal all the way through. He never played Dracula again until for a while, yet he was Dracula. They said, there's Dracula. And remember, he turned down the part of Frankenstein.
Yeah, originally.
Yeah.
he went on to play Frankenstein later on. But
yeah,
the original. And in a way, that's good that he did, because, I mean, it gave us Karloff. And Karloff is so, I mean, that's another podcast, but, you know, obviously.
Yeah,
both men were great actors.
Speaking of that, TCM or TNT or one of those T channels had a set. They were selling a set of DVDs of all these Boris Karloff movies. He's a lot of movies before he did Frankenstein. Playing thugs and guys and, you know,
right,
toughnesses.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to Dracula. This is really not about Bela Lugosi. This is about Dracula. So now the play was written by who?
The play was written by Hamilton Dean and a guy who, I want to say his name is John Balderston.
Okay.
And that was like the play they took the book, and basically when you think of Dracula as far as like the Lugosi version, that one has more in common with the play than it certainly does with the book. I mean, to be honest, there's been so many adaptations of Dracula, but very few of them, and I really don't think I've seen one yet that was completely like faithful to the book, but very few of them are faithful to the book.
True, and that's because the book is more or less a diary. The book is not it's not presented as a usual story, third person, or it's a first person diary, isn't it? Totally.
Multiple chapters are, yeah, have different viewpoints from the characters. I mean, Dracula himself is actually in very little of the book.
Uh-huh.
But I think it could be done. But I think the notion, the idea of having a, you know, a movie called Dracula where Dracula's in it for probably all of about 10 minutes probably has always seemed a little too daunting for a lot of filmmakers. But some have been closer to this than others. Certainly Coppola? The Hammer.
What about The Hammer?
Well, the Hammer films.
Oh, yeah, the Hammer films. Yeah, those were really British theatrical, kind of over the top in a sense. They were, because everybody was so serious. There's no comic relief in any of that stuff. Once in a while, a drunken English guy who saw a monster or something.
There is some cheekiness in a lot of the Hammer films, though.
No,
I mean, it's, you know, you have some of them you have to look for more than others. And, I mean, certainly as the series went on, I mean, some of the subplots and ways, like at one point you have Dracula getting buried under ice, and then some of the ways he got resurrected. I mean, it got a little silly in some ways towards the end, but I say silly with love. I have to be careful because actually one of the few times I've ever gotten a piece of really nasty hate mail was I used the word campy. In relation to Hammer, which I love Hammer. I use the word campy with love, you know, but you know, you can't please everyone, like Ricky Nelson says. He's eternal for all.
Oh, okay. He's another. Yeah, definitely. I'm going down a rabbit hole here because of various, Ricky Nelson was like more beautiful than Elvis. Did you ever get you're too young, but this guy was like, there were certain celebrities who you would know were good looking. Let's just say good looking.
Sure.
Ricky Nelson was one of those people you see live and mm-hmm. it's like, wow, how could you be 10 times more beautiful than you were? It's unbelievable. He's an unbelievably handsome guy. And he got better. He got better looking. Today he would have been the greatest looking old man, I think. Next to me. Anyway.
Of course, yes.
He could have played Dracula. Back to, because Langella was pretty,
Oh, he was foxy.
Yeah, he was foxy.
He was a foxy Dracula. Let's be honest. The Langella thing, going back to that though, the interesting thing about his approach to that character versus, say, the Lugosi one is that Langella's Dracula is almost very sensitive in a way. You know, it's very romantic. I mean,
yes.
Bella's Dracula wasn't really romantic. He was just primal love.
Yeah, he's,
you know, he
not
was just
that.
Sexy,
he,
sexy.
Yeah, he's Bella's Dracula is a template. He's like, and he's very, I don't know, he's stiff.
Yeah, he's perfect. I don't
know. What?
That's only a bias, yeah.
What did you say?
Now, his eyes, though. I mean, that's the thing. There are shots of just what he could do with his face that, I mean, you know, you can't CGI a great face. That face is just, you know, he's still one of the best Draculas. And there's some good ones.
Just the fact that we have so much to compare, just that fact is amazing. I never thought Christopher Lee was the best. When it came to that Hammer series, and Peter Cushing was just tremendous. He was so tremendous. He played, you know, when he played Dr. Frankenstein, he was tremendous. He was just tremendous, no matter what he did.
Absolutely.
And something about Christopher Lee as Dracula was, I don't know, he just didn't even look that scary.
Oh, my gosh. I think we're going to have to agree to disagree. I love Christopher Lee. I think
What about Christopher Lee? This character, let's look at the character Dracula. Let's look at the elements that allow him to last through different interpretations and stuff all this time, that beyond the sexual and the other themes. What about Christopher Lee? Give us that one.
Well, Lee, first of all, physically, out of probably almost everybody that's played Dracula, physically actually fits Stoker's almost to a T, right down to the shape of his nose. Dracula is described as having an aquiline nose, much like Christopher Lee. So Lee has that physicality, but it's not just physical appearance. I think the way that Christopher Lee, I mean, he's 6'4", he's a big guy. The way he commands and just, you know, commands the presence, commands his own presence, but also commands your attention to his presence, I think makes him a great Dracula. You can't, I mean, at least for me, I can't take my eyes off of him.
Okay.
And he really, I think, blends, and I think this would be a commonality between him and Lugosi's, is that Lee's really, to me, was able to combine the charismatic and sort of sexual aspects, but also there's a menacing there. He could bring the menacing. He might not have been like, you know, you're going to have nightmares about him, but you can feel like the dark cloud, you know, of evil. That sounds so cheesy, but but, you know, he really could. And to me, actually, I think the best film he played Dracula in is not a Hammer film, as much as I love the Hammer films.
Which one is that?
He did a film called El Conde Dracula, a.k.a. Count Dracula, with a Spanish director named Jess Franco.
Well, it certainly is a Spanish title, too.
Yeah, and it was made in 1974, around there. And the reason that Lee agreed to do it was Lee, you know, he loved Stoker's book, but he was always incredibly frustrated with the direction Hammer took the character. I mean, there's actually some Dracula films where Lee only says, like, one word.
Yes.
Because he would refuse to speak the dialogue.
Not just that.
He hated it.
Yeah, and not just that. He didn't, when he did, he didn't do the typical stereotype Transylvanian thing. That was all, a lot of people did that, though, right?
Oh, the blah, yeah.
Hey, even in Dracula Dead and Loving It, even when they did it funny, well, half funny.
Yeah,
Mel Brooks.
Originally,
I mean,
funny.
Yeah. They even had that poor guy trying to do the...
Oh, Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah, trying to do
the... great Leslie Nielsen.
The great Leslie Nielsen trying to... Blah. But, okay, so, but we're on to Christopher Lee here now.
Yeah, no, Christopher Lee, well, I think he's great. And Count Dracula, the reason he wanted to do that is Franco kind of promised him, like, that it'll be more accurate to the book. And it's not completely accurate to the book, partially because of budget limitations. It was a low-budget film. But it's closer than most, and it also features a really outstanding performance by Klaus Kinski as Renfield.
Klaus Kinski, isn't it?
Yes, the great Kinski.
Wow. So...
And Herbert Lom. The amazing Herbert Lom.
Herbert Lom is in it. Wow.
So, great cast. Soledad Miranda, who was an actress that worked a lot with Franco, she's in it. And she's magnificent as the Mina character, very, very hypnotic, wonderful woman. But it's worth seeking out. I'd recommend it.
Let's step back for a second, go back to Stoker for a moment. The popularity of Dracula, and I don't know this, I'm asking you, maybe you know, because you're the expert. And if you don't, we'll all find out. Get out your notebooks. These are things you need to look up if Heather doesn't tell you. If Heather tells you something, that's a fact, okay? Then just go deep.
Even when it's not a fact.
No, it's a fact. We're talking with Heather Drain, of course, here on Cthulhu Chronicles, Y2K plus 13. It's finally October. We're talking about Dracula. And why did this become a big hit, this book, in the beginning? Do you
Absolutely.
Know?
Yeah, no, it was a big, it broke out big. I mean, to the point where actually the very first adaptation, some of the early adaptations of Dracula that happened in the early 1900s have since been lost. But of course, there is F.W. Murnau's Nosferatu, which is basically a retelling. And thank God for bootleggers. A lot of people don't realize bootlegging is what saved that film, because Florence Stoker, Bram's widow, successfully sued, and all copies of that film were supposed to be destroyed and burned.
Wow, I didn't know that.
But because it was bootlegged, that's how we have Nosferatu, which is a great silent film. I mean, Murnau was definitely one of the early masters of film, and it also went on to be remade by Werner Herzog. Again, going back to Klaus Kinski is Nosferatu, and that adaptation's also, I would call it a masterpiece. It's impeccable.
So here's Bram Stoker sitting on this hit book. Why do you think, or do you know, did he never do anything else with it? Why didn't he ride the sequel machine? Why wasn't there a Son of Dracula? Why didn't he figure out how to do Brides of Dracula, Son of Dracula, Dracula Has Risen from the Grave? What happened?
Bram Stoker didn't. I mean, he died in 1912. So, I mean, I don't know if he really lived long enough, because Dracula...
But it was
trying to remember the exact year that Dracula came out. I want to say... Let me check my notes here. I do try to have notes. Dracula came out in 1897.
And he died in 12? He had time to write another book?
Yeah. Stoker did write a number of books after that, including Lair of the White Worm, which went on to be very liberally adapted by Ken Russell, who I love. Ken Russell, he's a great British filmmaker.
I remember, yeah, Ken.
There was a short story he did called Dracula's Guest.
Oh, he did do another one. He did a short story.
Just a short story, yeah. So, I don't know. I imagine, you know, Stoker probably, like a lot of writers, and this is just me guessing. I've not written a biography on him by any means, but, you know, a lot of people, when they do a large work, I mean, sometimes the last thing they want to do is revisit it. They want to kind of, they've done that territory. They've explored that continent. They want to go to a new one. A
couple of years back, I remember reading, I actually remember seeing it on the shelf. Somebody that was related to him wrote a sequel, and it was, did you know about that?
No. I know nothing about this.
We all have to look into that. Everybody look into that. There was a, yes, there was a book, maybe 6-7 years ago, I don't know, something like that, and somebody, I believe it was a Stoker relative of, I mean, you know, generations, obviously, later, or two generations later, I guess, or I don't know. But, yeah, there was another one, again, it did not do very, you know, by that time, either you do it in the movies and you fix it up and do it a different way, restyle it, or forget about it. I guess people weren't going back to the gothic thing. And then, of course, the teenage vampires came in, and that was the end of that. The Twilight guys and gals.
Add one thing, because I realized I made a just, and of course,
a faux pas?
Even when I'm wrong.
Did you make a fox pass?
I'm an adult. I'm totally, and I will never say that I know everything. I don't. I'll be the first to tell you that. No, Count Dracula, the Jess Franco film was 1970, so not 74. So, sorry. I had it at least in the right decade range.
in the opening collage, I played the trailer to Dracula AD 1972.
Oh, very nice.
And then there was a Dracula 2000 later, wasn't there? And a Dracula.
Oh, God, that film was horrible. Yeah, no, I actually saw that in a theater with an ex of mine. And it was, you know, this is the thing about Dracula 2000 is that some of the actual story ideas in it are not bad. Because there's this whole subplot about, like, tying in, which is funny because you're talking about Jesus. Earlier, tying in Dracula with, like, Judas and the blood of Christ. Mm. And that's kind of interesting, but the execution was very lazy. The acting, I mean, and there were good actors. I mean, Johnny Lee Miller's in it, and he was great in Trainspotting, but it was, and plus, like, this is the worst crime of all, is so Dracula is in the modern age, right? It's supposed to be, like, the, you know, the prince, the king of vampires. The Dark Lord is in a Virgin megastore, looks up and sees a video by this band Monster Magnet, which were a very, like, overrated band, in my opinion. Of all the great music in the world, they have him look up and go, like, something like, oh, that's magnificent. And it's like, really? Really? Like, no. Like, there are so many better bands, you know.
Well, in Dracula AD 1972, they actually credited this band called Stoneface or something. There's this rock band. This rock band is in it because here's Dracula coming back and, you know, everybody in the hippie land, you know, and he doesn't, your blood is blood. He doesn't care. Although I imagine, the blood, the more he came back, the more the blood was polluted. Remember, I don't drink wine. I mean, I was just worried about alcohol in the beginning, right? I don't drink wine.
I think it's like, I don't, you know.
Imagine there's amphetamines, there's heroin, there's all the other stuff is running around in the blood. I could have killed them alone.
Well, I mean, he's immortal, so I imagine he'd probably just get a buzz.
Who was the guy who played him in Van Helsing? Who was that guy?
Oh, gosh.
Remember that guy?
I'm trying to remember, because Hugh Jackman just, you know, that's...
The guy who played Dracula. Dracula's the big villain in that.
Yes, I'm trying to remember. I know...
And he's pretty sexy, too. He's got that big hair and that thing, and he's got those gorgeous vampire girls. There were always gorgeous vampires.
Of course you noticed the vampire girls.
They were always good. Hey, listen, you know, you watch, and I want to ask you about Coppola's in a second, because he tried to get real close to history and rewrite it historically in Coppola's. But let's face it, there's not a guy, I think, on the face of the earth didn't want to be Keanu Reeves when those girls were in that evening, he spent at Dracula's. Remember that?
Two things on that. Actually, one real quick. Richard Roxburgh played Dracula. So,
where?
And that is familiar with his
Richard
work.
Oh, yeah. Who is he? Have you ever seen him in anything else?
I don't know if I have. I mean, he's done other things. I'm familiar with the name. He's one of those I've heard of, but I haven't seen a whole lot of his work. I did see Van Helsing, though.
And they gave the guy a chance to kind of blend all the Draculas, because he did talk like that. He did the Transylvania thing. And he did that, plus he had the hair and he looked great. You know, he looked really sexy. Especially how he took his hair and moved it away from his face. He just had good moves, although it was kind of cartoony.
Right. Yeah. Now, the Coppola's Dracula.
Yeah, let's go to Coppola's.
Here we go. The thing with Keanu Reeves in that scene, what's interesting and actually a little creepy is that one of those vampire girls was originally going to be Sofia Coppola, France's daughter, and she refused because she felt like the script was, she felt like it was a bit tarty and sleazy, and go figure, she probably doesn't want to be topless in front of her dad looking on Keanu Reeves, but...
He pushed the envelope, the sexual envelope in that immensely, because what's her name, who plays, I always get confused, who's the first girl that he takes? Not the one.
Well, that would be Lucy, and that was played by Sophie Ward. And the other one, she was really good. I liked her as Lucy.
Well, the other one was
Winona Ryder.
Yeah, Winona Ryder
as Mina. Yeah,
and I think he went out of his way to have a kissing scene in the garden there too with them.
That was ridiculous.
Right?
I mean, and I'm all for, you know, I'm very
ridiculous?
LGBT friendly. There's nothing wrong with lesbian vampires. They're obviously, the lesbian vampire could be, that's a whole other podcast, because there's been plenty of films that have touched upon that realm.
Yeah, but, well, we're going to do that one too, believe me.
Yeah, you're making narrative.
We're going to do that one. Okay, let's get back to the Dracula in there then. And by the way, the guy who won an Academy Award, I'll tell everybody out there, Matt Mungall, the man who did the all the makeup in Francis Ford in Coppola's Dracula, was on this show. He was the first Academy Award winner ever to be on a internet radio show.
That's awesome. His work. Actually, the thing about Coppola's Dracula, I have a lot of issues with that film.
It's not the makeup. The makeup was great. It's just how the
visuals. Yeah, no, the makeup, the costumes, actually the score, the soundtrack's amazing.
Okay, so give us your issues with that version.
Well, first of all, the title, it's not Bram Stoker's Dracula, it's Francis Ford Coppola's Dracula. The title's a misnomer.
I know, I keep calling it Coppola's Dracula, too. You're right.
Coppola's Dracula. It's certainly not Bram Stoker. There's no way in hell, especially as a good Irish Catholic, he would have touched that film from the Victorian era. You know, there's no way.
Right.
But also the writing, and this is the thing in my research over the years. A lot of people don't know this, but the whole reincarnation subplot, you know, that really fuels Coppola's Dracula. I mean, that was actually not the first Dracula movie to do that.
Well, when he's they made that a theme throughout a lot of versions too, because his attraction to Lucy was not based on something reincarnate. You know, it's funny. Think about this for a second. Think about people going, oh, they're believing, you're buying, you got to buy the fact that he's been around for ages, he's dead, and he walks around sucking blood, right? Then somebody brings up reincarnation, and they go, oh, come on, that's ridiculous. Oh, that's what you don't believe about it. Isn't his attraction to Lucy have something to do with, or is it just supposed to be love? I don't get it.
Well, according to Coppola's version, which actually he took a big riff from the Dan Curtis TV movie version of Dracula with Jack Palance, made in mid-1970s.
I forgot about that. You're right. Palance,
yes.
I remember.
Because Curtis did the whole reincarnation thing, too.
Yeah.
Which also, I'm sure he was inspired by Dark Shadows, because, of course, he created
magnificent
Dark Shadows. I'm a huge fan of that show, but...
Oh, that's right, the Jack Palance one. That would be right in his era. I mean, he's my generation, Coppola. That would be, that would have been it. That would have been where he got it. See, he's a neo-postmodernist. We all. So are we all. Okay, so give me your issues now. Let's get to the issues. Because Gary Oldman was great, wasn't he?
No, Gary Oldman, I really think Gary Oldman's one of the best working actors
right
now.
Yeah.
I think Oldman's amazing.
Yeah.
I love him. Even in films that I've seen him in that I didn't like.
Yes, me. Yes. Crap. Yes, yeah, I totally agree. Yeah,
Let's start with the actors that are really good in that. Okay, Oldman was great.
Right.
Bill Paxton was great. Tom Waits as Renfield. I mean, I freaking love Tom Waits anyways. He's an amazing musician, but I thought he was great. Oh, my husband calls him the Dr. Seuss Renfield.
He played that particular role the way he played. Did you see that? I don't remember the movie now. There's a movie where, The Name of the Rose. Did you see The Name of the Rose?
The Sean Connery film?
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't seen that. I saw that when I was a kid.
Well, Tom Waits is in. He plays a retarded type guy there too.
I'll have to rewatch that.
Yeah.
I just remember Christian Slater.
Anyway, go ahead. So you like? He was great. You didn't even mention Anthony Hopkins. You didn't like him in that at all.
Hopkins, I'm torn. I mean, he's entertaining in it, but good lord, I mean, he's chewing up that scenery like he didn't have any breakfast. I mean,
well, do you notice how much he eats in that movie?
Speaking of breakfast, he's literally chewing up.
I think that you said that. And something I remember about how he eats in that movie, how Coppola made them eat, and how Van Helsing is just scarfs food and blood. Hopkins plays him very much on the edge of madness, not at all like the intellectual older man who understands the great legendary horror.
Yeah, see, that was the thing. I mean, I think actually Hopkins did the best with what he could with the material. I mean, I think the writing in that film is not very good. Mm-hmm. Also, I think the casting of, like, Winona Ryder and Keanu Reeves, I think they both were horribly miscast. They were both just not at all suited for either one of those parts. I mean, to some degree, I mean, it's easy to blame the actors, but I'm like, let's blame, like, the director, because, I mean, Keanu Reeves is, like, a very limited actor. I mean, he's good at what he can do.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, he's great in Point Break. He's good in, Bill and Ted. I mean, Matrix. Sure. I mean, that's what he can do. To have him play a Victorian British is ridiculous. And Winona Ryder, the same thing. I mean, she's great in Beetlejuice, but why, she's no Mina.
Yeah.
They should have got a British actress for Mina.
Okay. I'll buy your complaints. I'll buy your complaints on that. What about the idea of not just the reincarnation, but the fact that they had that Dracula takes on these different personas as he's supposed to, right? In the original book, he's supposed to be able to take on these personas. He's really this old guy, but he's not, and he does. And he's also this young guy, and he can be a wolf, and he could be a mist. You know, the thing about the Frank Langella thing that I always liked was the fact that there was one scene where he shows up and it's daytime and they're going, and he's, even though he's in the darkness, and he says, and they say, what are you doing up during the day or something like that? And he says, it's always nighttime somewhere, And so Dracula was off, awake somewhere else. But Coppola thing, doesn't he walk around during the day?
Well, yeah, but Dracula walks around the day of the book.
Yes, okay, so that's what I mean.
Accurate. Yeah. And the whole him being an old man is accurate, but that was better portrayed actually in the Jess Franco film because, the whole, cinnamon roll hairstyle, I don't know what, was up with that.
That was Matt.
That Lee, sure. Yeah, it looked great though. He did a great job. But no, Lee.
Cinnamon had, roll.
I know. I'm sorry.
I mean,
it's I just think the writing. I'm one of those though. I don't really care for the whole. I thought the whole Love Never Dies thing with that one was just. I thought it was hackneyed and cheesy. And I kind of want to see like Dracula with fangs again. I didn't care for the whole. He's not a romantic creature. He's not a creature of love. He's a monster. Let's get back to him being. He can be sexy, but don't make him lose the monster quality.
In the book, and you're gonna. I mean, I only actually read the book once a long time ago. So come back with me, and other people who haven't read it who can go on and read it. But he is somehow accursed. How does he become a vampire, and where does that show up in the different characters? In other words, isn't he just dying to die? I mean, he's cursed with not being able to die. And so wouldn't he want to die, but he can't die? You get where I'm coming from here? I mean, you create
character?
What?
I mean, it's been a few years for me, too. I will say, though, anybody who hasn't read the book or anybody wanting a new perspective of it, there's a really amazing edition called The Essential Dracula that's got some great annotations by Leonard Wolfe. And it's out of print, I think, but I think you can get it either on a Kindle version, or you can get it used, I think, for a song. It's not super expensive, but no, I don't think the book really goes heavily into Dracula's origins by any means. I mean, you know, the main focus of the book is really the effect of Dracula on those who come in contact with him.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking of the there's a the correlation between you know, Shelley writing Frankenstein, which is really which is just taking Prometheus Unbound, and well, that's the subtitle of it, Prometheus
right.
Unbound, of taking that whole idea of the man stealing lightning from God, you know, and becoming God and stuff like that. But Dracula is presented as a vampire. It's like, here's a vampire. He was a count. And now he's running around trying to stay alive, and the only way he can do that is by drinking live blood, dead blood. Well, yeah, blood. He can't. A vampire can't suck the blood from another vampire. He's got to get alive. He needs live people to stay dead. But there's no. They've had to make up his origin throughout fiction, because we don't. I mean, there's Vlad, and they went to Vlad as a legend, but even Vlad. In the Coppola thing, well, why did he become a vampire? Because he was such an ugly guy and he had to stay dead?
Well, I think in Coppola's version, it's because his, you know, Vlad comes back from the war and he finds out that his bride has thrown herself off the building and committed suicide. And he reacts in a rage and blasphemes to God and puts a sword in a giant crucifix and blood pours out of it. And so basically him blaspheming against God has transformed him into a vampire.
No, that makes sense. And Coppola knew that you had to do some exposition on the guy if he was going to base him. And then maybe that's another reason he based him on Vlad per se and just made up that. See, this is all... this is what I mean about about whatever the truth might be with an original character and how it turns into so many different things and how legends are attached to it and how all this... in other words, like if you read any original... And you know, they tried to do that with Frankenstein, too. As time went on, they tried to get closer and closer to the book.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Didn't the Robert De Niro one trying to get Kenneth Branagh, right?
Right, Kenneth Branagh.
I said. That was really trying to get close to the book. But the problem I have with that movie was that when he first comes to life, the it's a joke. It's so funny to me when Branagh is trying to make him stand up. He can't stand up because he's... Oh, well, anyway. So I guess you have to see that one, too. Okay, but the point is trying to get closer and closer to the source. And even then, you have to make things up because the source does not... fully identify the history of the main characters. Although, I don't even know if Dracula is the main character in Dracula. Who is the main character in Dracula? Who really changes in that book? Is it, I don't think it's him. I think it's her. Well,
yeah, no, I mean, the main characters of that... that's a good question, because it's not Dracula at all.
It's her.
Dracula's...
It's her, fairly. Isn't it, Lucy?
No, Lucy gets kind of, you know... Lucy's the one that gets killed halfway through because she becomes a vampire and they end up having to behead her.
Oh, right. I forgot.
Yeah, Mina. It's Mina. To some degree, I think it's basically, you know, it's sort of the group of characters. That's a good question.
Yeah,
I mean,
we don't let that. There's your homework, friends. How about this? Hey, 500, no, an 800 word. essay. Who is the main character in Dracula? Go do your homework, come back, write it, and send it in to me, fcatolo@yahoo.com, or go over to Mondo Heather. And you have an email there too, don't you?
I do. It's on the blog, which is mondoheather.blogspot.com.
Okay. Well, we're nowhere near done, but we are going to take a little break here now because we all have to dispose of some precious bodily fluids. I know I do. I've been drinking coffee and water because of my sickness here. Let's take like, you know, 3 or 4 minutes. I'll run some promos and stuff, and then you and I will come back. Don't hang up. Heather, just stay right there and replenish your drink if you're drinking, or... Go out, and everybody else down there, come right back with Heather Drain here on Talking About Dracula. You're never going to hear, I'm going to tell everybody out there, you're never going to hear this particular topic discussed at this length and at this depth on any other show anywhere, guaranteed, right?
Absolutely. And, okay. and come on, I mean, you know, it's us.
Yeah, right. Isn't that enough? We'll be right back. Hold on there, Heather. We're coming right back, so stay with us, okay?
Cthulhu Chronicles, the internet talk show from the neo-postmodern world.
On behalf of Rad, if you're drinking, you can't drive my car or any car. Remember, if you're partying this holiday season, don't drink and drive. Got it? It's just not worth it. Doesn't make sense. Thank you.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hey guys, I'm Jess.
And I'm Lisa from the Brony Cares for Rad.
We see a lot of things at gigs, mostly people having a good time and having a few drinks. But what we'd hate to see is someone getting behind the wheel after they've been drinking. Being even a little bit over the limit makes it too easy to lose control and possibly lose your life or that of a friend. So if you plan to drink, plan ahead. Arrange a designated driver who won't drink or stay the night at a friend's place. Remember, music lives and you should too.
A public service message brought to you by Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Early to bed, early to rise, makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise.
And all was Benjamin Franklin wise.
So you actually think electricity can pass through metal? Ha! Ben Franklin, go fly a kite.
Excellent idea. Where are my keys?
Besides the bifocals, Ben invented the Franklin
Up
stone.
You go!
The odometer.
Whoa!
Oh, and the lightning rod. Ingenuity, pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
Juiced Talk Radio. It's juicy. JuicedTalk.com. Hear Frank Cotolo's Cotolo Chronicles.
Imagine if there were companies that made cookies, and they only got together to make like one, a certain amount of cookies for a certain amount of time, okay?
Transistor by Velvet Steel.
You know, you've got short nipples, you've got long nipples that stick up from the body, you've got big areolas, you've got small areolas, you've got different colors, you've got hair growing off them, you've got everything growing, you've got veiny nipples, you've got all kinds of different things. But for some people, they have really small nipples.
And the Fabulous D Show by me, the Artist D.
You bring this out of me.
I know. And that's why this is so unique, because you could do a million of your own shows.
And I would never do this there, no.
Exactly. You'd never start saying, who did they suck off to get that?
All at Juiced Talk, archived for your listening pleasure. JuicedTalk.com.
These are the sounds of impaired driving. And then...
I don't think he's going to make it.
When you drive impaired, there's a price we all pay. Emergency response costs, doctors, caregivers, and more. Studies show that impaired driving costs us billions of dollars each year. But the victims of impaired driving pay the biggest price.
Change for the better.
MAD Canada, helping the victim, stopping the crime.
I want to tell you to do one thing, though, and if you'll pay attention to me, it might save your life. I want you to buckle up and live. Seat belts and shoulder harnesses can be your second chance. Now, if you never had an accident, you could be next because you gamble every time you get in your car. Now, you cut down the odds against you getting killed, you understand, by buckling up your seatbelt or your harness. Use them as advised by your car's manufacturer and have your passengers use them, too. Automobile accidents can be deadly. Be sure you get that second chance. Buckle up and live.
Everybody's voting for the friendly voice of radio, the people's choice. Music, weather, sports, and news, it's radio, the people choose. Everybody's swinging to the swinging voice of radio, the people's choice. Big fry, small fry, dawn to dawn, it's radio that turns them on. Radio, the people's choice. East coast, west coast, in between, it's radio that makes us see.
冰球到冰球，小村到大市， 咸湿屋仔到咸湿中心， 是 Cthulhu Chronicles.
Well, sure, there's so many people listening in so many different languages that obviously we have to continue to translate this for many of you. My name is Frank Atolmo. A man whose name adorns the title of the show, and the show is adorned as a perfect word with the fabulous voice and the and all the information, data, and color and behind that voice with Heather Drain.
Hello.
What a voice. What a. Do you know, I'm such a big Heather Drain fan that I must go to Google Images and write in Heather Drain just so I could see her.
Oh, God.
Just so I could see that pretty face.
I don't recommend that.
Why? Anyway, look, you know, it's funny. I didn't realize there were so many promotional things there about driving safely. I didn't realize there were so many. Don't drive drunk. Don't do this. Don't do that. And don't text. But there's nothing there. Don't text and drive. I guess we got to tell people, don't text and drive. Don't text and drink. Because when you text and drink, you can get in trouble. Speaking of texting, because I just noticed while we were in that thing, that I got like three or four more followers on Twitter. Heather's on Twitter. You can Twitter. You're who?
I am Mondo Heather. But you can also type in my actual name, Heather Drade, and you should be able to find me. I'm also on Frank, so you could just look at Frank's followers and following, and I'm on there too.
Yes, that's right. You can do that too. You can look on people's followers and go over there and say, hey, I'm... I want to follow Heather, because Heather will tell you all sorts of stuff. And then, and every once in a while, we retweet each other's stuff and everybody, because that's what it's all about when you tweet, right?
Absolutely. It's, you know, and with me on Twitter, you never know. It could be a music video. It could be a random thought. Could be the sandwich I had earlier. You know, it's miscellanea go-go. I think you'll enjoy it.
Yeah. And Mondo Heather MondoHeather.blogspot.com, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Go there and read all that stuff. And Heather's always writing. She's also writing these days in online magazines.
Absolutely. Yeah. In fact, I'm currently one of the contributors to a fantastic pop culture site called DangerousMinds.net. And I'm also in the latest print issue of a fantastic magazine called Paris Cinema. That's P-A-R-A Cinema.
So there. So there's no reason not to bring all your traffic and read if you're at all fascinated, interested. And you always do attract so many people when you're on this show. So you people should be going over there, and she should be getting so much more traffic that the Coca-Cola people are going to call her and say, you know what, we'll give you $20,000 a year just to put this Coca-Cola banner on. We can make that happen, everybody.
That would make my cats very happy.
Your cats,
very cranky cats.
The cats.
Yes.
We're talking about Dracula, the legend, the mime, the myth, the movie character, the whatever. Why not Well, there's probably a lot we missed. You brought up Jack Palance, and I went, wow, I forgot about that TV drama version of it. Why don't you name some others that we haven't mentioned who portrayed Dracula, and then give us a little commentary?
Let me think. There have been a number. There was a version with Louis Jourdan, the French actor. That one, which I believe was on the BBC originally, that one's actually fairly... I wouldn't say super accurate, but it's got some accurate touches. There was also one which I think only like one print exists, but there was one with Denham Elliott.
Really?
From the 60s, yes. Yeah,
wow.
Denham Elliott. And that was also, I believe, for television. So those are the big ones.
Denham
Elliott?
Those are
the ones at least that immediately come to my mind that we haven't covered. One I'd be remiss, and this is absolutely one of my favorites, is Andy Warhol's Dracula, a.k.a. Blood for Dracula, with the great Udo Kier as Dracula. Udo would be in my top three favorite Draculas.
Well, you left out John Carradine.
Oh, the great John Carradine. Poor John Carradine. I'm all, like, stuck on Udo Kier. You know?
God, don't.
But, no, of course, John Carradine. But, you know, to be honest with you, I mean, House of Dracula and House of Frankenstein are great movies. I love them. But I actually was always more of a Lon Chaney Jr. girl in those films. I thought Carradine's Dracula was good, but he just never stood out to me as much as other Draculas. I mean, I actually prefer Carradine in other roles, I think.
Well, what about, speaking of him, what about Son of Dracula? That was Lon Chaney Jr.
Oh, yes, that's right. You know,
Aldercard. Count.
Yeah, Aliakar.
Aliakar.
Of course, that backwards?
We're back,
I'll say it. Dracula.
It took them all. How can no one figure that one out, boy?
Right.
It took them a while, but Son of. And I don't know. They called it Son of Dracula, but was he supposed to be Dracula? And if not, how did Dracula get a son? Are the undead allowed to procreate?
Well, you know, there was a 70s film with Maria Schneider, who was in Last Tango in Paris, called Mama Dracula. So,
really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Really? She played a female elderly, a mature?
Actually, no. Mama Dracula, the mama in question, I believe, was Louise Fletcher.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that a trip? Only in France.
Wow. There's a strange... I mean, not Strain. That's esoteric. Who remembers that? You do, because you're Heather Drain. Mondo, she is not called Mondo for nothing, my friends. Mondo means world, and Heather's worldly when it comes to this stuff. Who else? Okay, we know. Well, there was Dracula's daughter. There was son of. Well, that who played Dracula and Dracula's daughter? Was he not around?
I don't think Dracula was in Dracula's daughter.
Okay.
If he was, it was very fleeting. I don't think he was, though. It's been, that's another one I need to revisit, because I loved it as a kid, but I haven't seen it, you know. Because as I get older, I went on to move to more modern fare, like Blood for Dracula. Seriously, Udo Kier is phenomenal in
Udo Kier? Where do we know him from otherwise?
Oh, Udo Kier is a great character. He's been in a ton of stuff. He's been in everything from, you know, Underground Fare to, like... Yeah, like Seduction, the Cruel Woman, which is a German film. But he was also in things like Blade. He has a small part in Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. He's been in music videos by Madonna. I mean, he's done just the craziest resume, the most filling resume. He's amazing. I love Udo Kier. He's also in Dario Argento's Suspiria, which is a classic. So, yeah, but he's a great Dracula, very pale. He had to lose... I'm trying to think of the American equivalent. I think something like 10 or 15 stones, you know, the British equivalent of weight. And Udo's never been a big guy. He had to get real sickly looking for that part. But he's beautiful and just gets to say lines like, the blood of these whores is killing me. I mean, that's a great line. I'm sorry. If you can't appreciate that line, then you can't appreciate anything.
We'll say it again slowly, then we'll write
the
it down.
The blood of these whores is killing me.
Now, you didn't say the blood of these whores.
Yes, he does. Yeah, because
the blood of these whores.
The blood of these whores.
I thought you were saying horrors and horrors.
No, whores.
He says whores. Well, why? Because it's no good? He gets what? He can't get the... Did he go after prostitutes or something?
Well, no. The thing is, like, in Paul Morrissey's Dracula, as much as it's called Andy Warhol's, Paul Morrissey directed it. The Dracula in this universe is very sickly because he needs virgin blood to survive.
Oh.
And, of course, him and his assistant, played by the great Arno Juergen, finds his family, this aristocratic family with these three, four daughters. And the two daughters that the family's immediately trying to pimp to him because they think he has money are the two, the middle children that are too beautiful. Like, they're in their early 20s, gorgeous girls, thinking they're virgins. And, of course, oh, yes, we're good virgins. But they've been, like, banging their gardener, housekeeper, fix-it man, played by Joe D'Alessandro. And so they're like anti-virgins, really, because there's a lot of sex in this.
Anti-virgins. I like it. Anti-virgins.
They are anti-virgins.
Isn't that a whore? An anti-virgin wouldn't be a whore.
According to Dracula, they are the whores, you know? But
nothing he wants.
He gets violently ill if he has impure blood.
Okay, and he calls that impure blood. And that's what I was saying about Dracula AD. Wouldn't he be surprised to get, although I guess they had nicotine in the old days too.
They had cocaine.
And they had cocaine, right, exactly. Sure. What's his name?
Udo Kier.
How could Udo Kier? No, the other one. Ergay Nergay.
Arno Juergen plays his assistant.
Arno Juergen!
I think did like the two films.
How could you not be
he
great?
He might have done a few other things. He didn't do a whole lot, but he's great.
Your name is Arno Juergen. How could you not be great? You said the great Arno. Yeah, how could you not be great if your name is Arno Juergen?
Oh, he's terrific in that. There was a companion film made called Flesh for Frankenstein that has him and Udo, and that is equally great, and also Joe D'Alessandro. So, it's good stuff. Recommended.
So, who we must we got the Christopher Lee, John Carradine, got this guy, that guy. We got Bella. We got who else? Who else? Oh, we got Langella. And who else who we missed?
Well, I have a question, actually.
To me?
Who do you think, of all the great actors, who should have played Dracula? Who, and this could be past or present, but who are actors that you think would have done that character justice?
That is a great question. That is a absolutely terrifically great question, and I'd have to kind of think about who could have played Dracula that hasn't played Dracula. You know, immediately what happens to me is I start thinking of either grotesque or absolutely gorgeous men. You know, I don't know in the middle. That's why I think I have a problem with Christopher Lee. He's like right in the middle. I can't.
Oh, he's gorgeous, Frank. You just need to. You Christopher
need to Lee is gorgeous.
Get into the Lee.
Really? Christopher Lee is gorgeous. That's wild.
He is. In fact, I'd even say I think he's aged well. I joked with a friend of mine that we called him an HOM, a hot old man.
Oh, he's not a DILF.
Well, he's like 90 now, so
yes.
He's a little past. I don't know, great-great-great-grandfather, would that be a good gilf? I don't know.
A gilf. I love it. A lot of people don't realize he was in that. That's the same guy who was in the Lord of the Rings thing.
Oh, Christopher Lee's done everything. Yeah. I mean, he was more so than Udo Kier.
Terrible Scaramanga. If you want to talk about
it. That's the thing. You're bitter. This is the real root
I'm
of your
bitter,
problem.
Yeah.
It was
the
Dracula.
Bitter. Yeah, he should not. He was a terrible Scaramanga. But you know, you can't. I am biased because I'm so close to the books or what have you. But that way, he was just terrible. But, okay. Who would have made a great Dracula? Off the top of my head, I don't know, because I got to run through. I got to have a bunch of candidates, and no one comes to mind. I never sat back and said, you know, would be a good Dracula. It would have been. I don't know. Hey, I saw and you saw. Remember the speaking of playing a vampire.
Mm-hmm.
What was that? What was that movie that made Nosferatu a real Dracula guy? And then what's his name?
Shadow of the Vampire with John Malkovich.
Malkovich.
That's a good film.
Yeah, and it turns out that that is Nosferatu, and it's Willem Dafoe.
Willem Dafoe, yeah, another great actor. Two great actors, really. I like both those guys.
Willem Dafoe, the only William in history who ever had letters stolen from his name. First name. I never got them back. Willem.
Great though. He doesn't need the eye.
But you know what?
Like,
he might have. But he did that. Very well because he did that. Did a Nosferatu character. But you know, he might have been a good Dracula.
I could see that. I mean, see, my two I have two. See, I had ulterior motives with that
question. I'll give you another one, too. One of the Fine Brothers, and I don't mean Larry Fine. I bet you one of the Fine Brothers.
I would kill to see Larry Fine as Dracula.
No, one of the Fine. I'm talking about F-I-E-N-N-E-S. One of the, or as people call them, the Finnesses, if you get on. One of the Fine, Ralph or, who's the other guy? Who's his brother? Ralph and?
Joseph, I believe.
Joe Fine? Yeah. They
He goes by Joseph. He's not. Hey Joe.
Hey Joe. I know they might have been able. One of them might have been able to pull it off if they were using the. Anyway, so those are two. Give me your two.
My two. One's a classic actor, and that would be Conrad Veidt. Or Veidt, yes, who's great.
Well,
great,
that's
one of my absolute favorites. I love him. He was, of
but
course.
Got to go back to when he was when he was younger. Yeah, you got to go back to when he was younger though, and.
I'll take him either, you know, I mean, because he died young. I mean, he was, I believe, in his 50s. He wasn't very old when he passed, but, okay. You know, young or old, I think he would have made an amazing Dracula.
Who?
Modern would be
oh,
Ray
young
Wise.
Or old. Who?
Ray Wise, the great character. He's
Ray
he's
Wise.
Probably best known for playing Laura Palmer's father in Twin Peaks.
Give me something
else. But he's also
in
the show Reaper. He was the devil.
No, give me another one, because I know the name, but I can't place him.
Oh, God. Ray Wise has been... I'm trying to think. Those are always the big things I think of. Huh. He's done a lot of other stuff,
okay.
though.
Okay.
But yeah, Ray Wise is actually expressed in interviews, though. This guy, he loves Dracula the book. He's always wanted to be... He's also in RoboCop.
Oh, okay. Okay, I think I know who you're talking
you
about.
You would know him if you saw him. He's been in a few episodes of Mad Men. Mm-hmm. He's done a lot of TV work. But he's an amazing, amazing actor, and he has a very—he's got an intensity. Like he's got a real kind of physical gravitas that I think would be perfect. Cause that's—I think the problem with a lot of more newer Draculas is that, yeah, they cast these guys that are good looking, but they don't have the weight. They mm-hmm. do not have the, mm-hmm. the sort of the weight of presence.
Yeah.
That to me nail it, and I think that's why I love Christopher Lee. Is I think Lee did it. I think Kinski had it. Nosferatu. I think Udo Kier had it. Lugosi obviously is king, you know, and had it.
I guess I'll always be a Langella fan. I guess I'll always go for that guy. The real. That's what I really liked about that version, and that's why they brought it back. They brought it back to change to alter it. You know, it's like they do with Shakespeare. They're always changing it or making them in modern times or, you know, and doing different things with Shakespeare versions. That's why I guess I like Langella. That was the perfect time for him to be doing that. Who is this? What do you know about the new one? About the miniseries? It's a miniseries or what? Who is this?
It's a miniseries. Yeah, I know.
What's
I've only
the spin?
Seen the previews for it. Jonathan Rhys Davies, Art Myers. See, that is hilarious to me because Jonathan Rhys Davies is actually a very good character actor, but he looks like Pavarotti. I don't know why I keep thinking of him.
Yeah, he's not the guy.
No, Myers.
That's the guy from Raiders. Myers. That's the guy who was in Indiana Jones, right?
I don't know if he was in Indiana Jones. He was in Velvet Goldmine.
Jonathan Rhys, the guy who looks like Pavarotti.
Oh, Jonathan Rhys Davies.
Yeah, Davies.
Yeah, yeah, he wasn't one of the Indian Jones.
Yeah, he was in the first one. Okay, go on.
Actually, by the way, my dream version of Dracula, I would have, I would totally have David Warner as Van Helsing, which I think should happen.
David
Warner's still with us, so somebody needs to make that happen.
He played Jack the Ripper in that time thing with the...
Yeah, Time After Time with Malcolm McDowell, who it would also actually hell. Why not have... Well, can't we have two Van Helsings? Because those guys are great, you know?
The Van Helsing brothers, ladies and
the
gentlemen.
The Van Helsing brothers.
Bob and Ray Van Helsing. Let's hear it from
them. I just want to use this opportunity to say David Warner's amazing, so... Just putting that out there. David Warner's awesome.
Who else could have been? Oh, the new one. You don't know anything about the new one? Is it modern times? What is it? What did they do with this one? What's the spin?
Well, the previews I saw, it looks like they're doing something where it's still kind of set in those times, but Dracula's back or something. Like, it's obviously not faithful to the book, but it has the characters. It looks like they're almost going for kind of a steampunk kind of gothic thing, but I've just only seen a little trailer. I mean, I don't think it's aired yet, so I can't for sure say. I mean, I know Jonathan Rhys Meyers. I mean, he's a good actor. He's very pretty, mm-hmm. but again, I'm kind of like, I want to see like a really bad, you know, I mean, he's good, I like him, and he could rock it, so I'm not slagging him, but I almost want to see, like, a good character actor get that role. Now, there is a new version that came out last year by Dario, it's funny, going back to Dario Argento, called Dracula 3D, which I have not seen. It's gotten some fairly kind of mixed reviews, but it should be. I think it's good to know, because it's Argento, it stars his daughter, Asia Argento. Mm-hmm. As Mina, Rutger Hauer, the great Rutger Hauer. That's a man that should have played Dracula back, you know, in the day. In fact, Anne Rice actually wanted him to play Lestat for years. And I think by the time they made those films, I don't know, he probably wasn't a big enough name, I guess, compared to Tom Cruise. But
back in my Hollywood days, I was I had an idea, and I tried to pull it off on paper. Somebody actually came up with this idea, but not this particular. Well, I had the interest of two people, you know, the Dracula character, who, and I don't even know if they would have used Dracula. I tried to use him as Dracula. Was Alice Cooper?
Oh my God! I would watch that. Yeah, I love Alice Cooper.
And the deal was this: was the plot. I'll tell you this very simply, because and of course Wolfman. This was the deal. Wolfman Jack would be his sidekick there.
Oh my God!
And he would have been the guy trying. And what happens is, you know, they run out of place. So they keep running him out of town, because they don't kill him, but they keep running him out of town. Dracula running out of town wherever he goes, because they find out he sucks too many people's necks and takes too much blood, and until he finally like runs out of places, and then someone somehow, I don't remember in the plot, but this was the deal. They realize. And I think it's Wolfman who finally comes up with the thing. He's like, hey, why don't we go to where this, it's mostly nighttime all the time. Why don't we go up north? Why don't we go to Switzerland? Why don't we go to Scandinavia? Because we could be up so much longer. You could kill so many more people because you don't have to go to bed. This was the catch. I think later on, somebody did something with that. Somebody actually did some TV thing or something where the vampires were still alive, because it was, you know, they kept going. And they were prolific, because in the land of the midnight sun, there was all night, you know, mostly night and stuff. But Alice Cooper was not my of choice. He was just the one who was interested in, of course, it never got anywhere. But that's...
Oh, my God. That would have been stunning. I mean, especially because Alice actually did do a horror film. He did an Italian film in the early 80s called Monster Dog, which is really not a good movie. It's beautifully shot. I mean, that's the thing about Italian cinema, is even the worst films, like just the bottom of the barrel, will usually have really good cinematography and really good music.
Yeah, you talked about that before. And you know, in the story of film, a documentary, they talk about the Italians, and he talks about the Italians in so many different ways you know, juxtaposition and mood and everything, and how it presents. So you're right about that. This would have been, I think it would have been good. It was a pretty good treatment and everything, but, you know, that's Hollywood. But so there's Alice Cooper. I would have liked to seen him there, because it would have meant money and a credit for me. But let's move on.
That would have been fabulous.
We're here with Heather Drain, the queen of pop culture, undisputed queen of pop culture.
Oh God!
I think, and certainly all things B, and certainly you want to know about. You go to the Reels channel and to watch the Leonard Maltin stuff for all that other, for all those big things. Even though he's a pretty good critic, but you know, you go to Heather to get all this stuff, and she'll just you'll learn. If you don't know, if you haven't been to this tier of moviedom, Heather introduces you to an entire world that is just fascinating and so accessible anymore, because you can go onto YouTube and watch these movies, and you can get them, and you know, I probably tons of them on Netflix and stuff. You could get a lot of these movies she's talking about. There's a whole universe of movies you don't know about, I'm sure, especially you young people out there who listen to the show. MondoHeather.blogspot.com. We're talking about Dracula all these years. So you don't know anything more about... Who is the guy? You said who's the guy playing him.
Jonathan Rhys-Meyers.
Oh, yeah, of course. We just talked about him. Okay, I don't know him. And what do we know him from and elsewhere?
Velvet Goldmine. He was also, I believe, on that show, The Tudors.
Oh, okay. Well, that's why you would know him. I still don't know him. But But here they are again, right? Now, this is, isn't Dracula public domain by now? I mean, nobody has to pay for the Stoker, estate anything anymore, do they?
I don't, that's a good question. I'm not sure if it's public domain or not. I mean, I definitely know back in the early 1900s, his widow was very Sue happy, so.
Well, 1900s.
But 100 years have probably passed since then, so
sure.
I don't know. I'm not quite sure on the status of that.
I think that's why they could just use the name and forget about, and this is probably the problem that can exist. He'll always be a vampire, but he'll always be the vampire of recency, and however they reboot him in any particular case, and people might not have go back and see Dracula. They might not pick up the book anymore. Wouldn't it be interesting to know how that book sells now? Does it sell, or is that also public domain? Is that one of those Amazons you can get for nothing on your Kindle?
Again, I don't know. I would recommend buying a copy. I mean, again, the one that I mentioned earlier, The Essential Dracula, is definitely, and it may be out of print, but it's worth picking up. I mean, it's the research that went into the notes on that are brilliant.
Well, it can't be so essential if we can't get our hands on it.
Well, it's I call it The Essential. It's
Is that the title?
Yeah, I mean, I got a used copy fairly cheap. So if anybody out there is interested in Dracula and certainly the history behind the novel, I would highly recommend it.
Now, why do you think? Let's go back to this, you know, character thing. You try to create other characters and other vampires or what have you. Why do you think they stuck? Why did Dracula stick? Why didn't somebody come up with something that equaled or was somewhat similar? When James Bond became popular in books, suddenly other people started writing books about secret agents and spy things. And then when he became popular in the films, there were imitations. Okay. And you could even, people would even remember some of them and you could still see them, but there's still no other than Dracula. There's nothing else. There's no one else.
I think there have been a few close ones. Actually, one of the stories I mentioned that predated it was the short story Carmilla. There's been a number of film adaptations, and in fact, Hammer did their own adaptation called Ingrid Pitt was in it, The Vampire Lovers, and that character's lineage kind of went on in their other films like Lust for a Vampire.
It didn't attain. Commercial noticeability, the IQ of, the identification, the Dracula, there's still no one else.
Well, I think a lot of that is that Dracula, it's not even so much about the character, I think at this point, it's what he represents. You know, it's the sex death show. You know, we're attracted to what we fear.
What time is that on? I want to watch that one.
Welcome. Every day.
Give me a guest on that one now. I'll leave before the death portion and stay for the sex portion. But here, but still, it's the name. There's something going on with that.
Right. Well, that's what I think it is. I think we fear, as humans, we are often attracted to things that we fear, and it's a way of coping with it. Dracula is perfect for that, because Dracula as a character, as a construct, is on one hand very charismatic, very sexual, usually, as far as we're talking cinema goes, very handsome. On the other hand, it's almost like an opiate. You know, maybe you'll feel like high and you're going to be immortal, or you're going to die. Either way, you're tainted, and either way, you're surrounded by the stench of death.
You know, I just realized something else and I think I really should do the book now, because I brought all this up based on a book that's out now called Killing Jesus, which is selling billions and billions of copies, and I'm thinking I should do Killing Dracula, because listen to this, think about this too, Jesus in the Jesus story. Of lore, there's an afterlife, and in the Dracula doesn't promise you eternal lasting death. He brings you back. You're living dead.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, there's another comparison. There's another, you know, black and white thing. He's the opposite. He brings you back, but you know, so you don't die. And the Jesus thing is not dying, too. is resurrection. They're both resurrecting people, is what I'm saying.
Right.
Okay. Apparently, you're not finding this as fascinating as I. So we'll move on. But
well,
I just thought about that, too.
It's interesting. I just never really... I can see it. I mean, I guess you have the whole resurrection, the whole Lazarus factor, but...
Well, it's not Lazarus, it's him. I mean, Jesus died and came back, and but Jesus told everybody, according to various interpretations, he said, your life won't be over, you'll come back. And what is Dracula telling the girls? That I offer you immortality. He's not, you know, he doesn't say, hey, look, it's not as good as if you were an angel, but right? He doesn't say that. He just said, you'll be alive forever. It'll be great. So the essence of it is the same, isn't it?
Sure. Yeah, I just never, that's funny. I mean, I'm just interested in listening because it's, you know, to be honest, I never really drew, I can see the religious parallel. It's just one I never really came to in mind. Maybe it's because I'm a heathen. I don't know.
But you're an intellectual. That's the point. And this struck me yesterday because they were all talking about how the longevity of Jesus as a character, even though he was a real man,
right,
but there's all this stuff attached to him, which nobody can prove. But there's all that. But as a character, and he lasted, and so they use that as evidence. They say, look, there's got to be something with this guy, and then I warrant with other guys. And I said to myself, but wait a second, what about Dracula? He lasted. There's no other. Nobody comes up, and nobody else has replaced him as the vampire, and everybody knows he's the vampire. Just like you ask anyone, who's a Messiah? And people don't even believe or anything. Go, oh, you mean you're talking about Jesus? Say, who's a vamp? Who's a vamp? Oh, vampire, Dracula. He's got the same status in a whole nother thing, in a whole nother area. I guess I'm going to have to write this. Well, you think about it.
One thing that strikes me that, you know, if you're looking to do, like, a religious parallel, I mean...
But it's not religious.
I mean, there's the whole thing where Dracula... has Mina drink his blood.
It's a character. Yes, blood. Wait a second. We got blood. Remember the wine in the Last Supper. What is that? When you drink, this is my blood, he says.
Right.
Now, I'm saying we look at this as, literature. When we look at it as literature, we get the same thing and we get one specific character. Just like there were a lot of vampires, Dracula stands out. There were a lot of saviors of Messiah and he stands out. So they can't use that as evidence that Jesus actually is a divinity, can they? Because it's the same thing with Dracula. I know this sounds dumb. Okay, I'm good. Wait, you just think about it.
Okay.
Because I'm telling you, now, granted, the Dracula's not as old. As the whole story of Jesus, but you know, maybe one day he will be, and they're still going to remember. What are they going to remember? They're going to remember Dracula, right? 100 years from now, they'll remember the vampire. Dracula will be the template vampire. That's it.
Well, I mean, that's possible. I mean, but you know, there have been. I mean, if we're talking modern, I mean, I think Dracula is the better book. But, I mean, Anne Rice, I think, certainly carved a really nice niche with her vampire books. I mean, Vampire Lestat. Lestat's definitely, if we're talking more modern age. I mean, Dracula's the king daddy, of course.
That's it. That's what I'm saying, though. 100 years from now, no one's going to remember Anne Rice's the name of that guy.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I mean, her books still sell. I mean, she's still able to pump out all kinds of crap. I'm sorry.
See, there you go.
I'm sorry. Sorry. Well,
but they're not going to remember Lestat. They'll never remember Lestat like they remember Dracula. Dracula's Dracula. He said, there's no Lestat action figures. There's no Lestat cartoons. There's no Lestat. I mean, he's gone. Either she does it or nothing. There's no Lestat. Dracula's everywhere. He's comedy. He's tragedy. He's smart. He's dumb. He's a monster. He's a beautiful guy. I mean, the character is just impenetrable. You cannot even compare with him. And that's the whole Jesus thing, I think. But okay, we don't need to. That's not the theme of the show. We're still back on Dracula. This is a character with such depth and identification that it's fascinating. No one competes with him.
Yeah, well, it is amazing. I still think that I've always wanted to do my own version of Dracula. Mm-hmm. as a film.
What's yours about then?
I would want to do one close to the book. I'd actually want to find a creative way to make it interesting, because you're right, it would be tricky.
Yeah.
But I don't think anything's impossible. With the language of cinema, you can make someone drinking a cup of coffee a fascinating, beautiful thing if you know how to do it right. So.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you'll have to work on that. But I. Okay. Have there been any porn Draculas?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. There's been a
right?
few. There was.
There must be.
Yes, well, there was Dracula. There was two that were kind of made back-to-back. One was Dracula Exotica,
mm-hmm.
and the other one had a couple of different titles. Actually, the first one, I think, was released as an R-rated cut as Lust at First Bite. It was also released X-rated as Dracula Sucks. It had Jamie Gillis, Annette Havens, Serena. And it also had a non-adult actor, Reggie Nalder, who was in Mark of the Devil, among many other things. Then you had Dracula Exotica, was like a modern retelling with also with Jamie Gillis and Samantha Fox in it. Not the British singer. Mm. Just make that clear. But
so here we have another genre. Okay, Nosferatu gets laid porn.
As far as I know, Nosferatu has not popped up in pornography.
See?
But
And there's no Lestat. Lestat in himself is...
But there was an interview. I haven't seen it, but there was in the 90s one, I believe, and this, you're going to love this, Intercourse with the Vampire, I believe.
That's a buzz interview?
So Anne Rice did have I'm sure she's thrilled to know that her thumbprint did inspire Intercourse with the Vampire.
I still don't think it. Yeah, well, that would be. See, but then now that's a parody on one particular thing, not on that character. You see what they did with Dracula still. So Dracula's in comedy. Jack is in bad. He's in cheap movies. He's in expensive movies. He's on Broadway. Is there a Lestat on Broadway? No. And okay, so there's a. He's in comic books. He's in comedies. He's everywhere. And there's so many more people that played him than played any other vampire of a name that nobody knows anyway. And I think that if you had this question on Jeopardy, no one, okay, how smart the person might be that gets, because you got to be pretty smart to get on Jeopardy. No one would be able to name. Suppose it was this. You got to find the question for this, okay? He is the only other recognizable vampire in literature. And then who is Dracula? No, it's not. He's the other. Oh, they wouldn't answer. No one would answer because no one knows. So
I think it depends on who you ask, though. I mean, there's a lot of like middle-aged women and teenage girls that would probably say Edward Cullen from Twilight, and then you have a bunch of like goth people who were goth kids in the 90s. Not that I know any
who would play,
but that would say Lestat. You're right. Dracula is the absolute king. I will say this.
Go.
I think this man could have made a great Dracula, but he certainly made a great vampire, is Robert Corey, who was Count Yorga in the two Count Yorga films. And
Count Yorga. Now, I know that name, but it's not the first one that would pop into my head.
Robert Corey was amazing in those films. And Corey, actually, I think, had a lot of the elements that make... He possessed a lot of the same elements that make a great Dracula.
Okay.
He was a very handsome man, good-looking and charismatic, but he could bring the sinister. He could bring that
I have another one. I have something else that proves my theory, not for Jesus. I'm talking about Dracula, okay, and any other vampire, okay? How about we've got him in porn, we got him in this, we got him that. Now we're going to have him as another race, Blackula.
Oh, yeah. I'm ashamed that we didn't mention that earlier. William Marshall's amazing. I love William Marshall.
It's so funny. Blackula.
No, Blackula. The first Blackula movie, I think, is actually really good.
Blackula. And,
Scream, Blackula, Scream was a little campy, but it did have Pam Grier, so that gets points right there. Now, William Marshall. I should have thought of that one at the beginning of this show. William Marshall's great.
There's no Black Lestat. Lestat. La Blackstat. No.
There was
no,
a Blackenstein, though.
Okay, that's fine. Because Frankenstein's a whole other story. That's obviously.
That's fit. that's very true. Yeah,
that fits in here too. But as far as vampires are concerned, Blackula, was he really? You know, it's amazing because think about it. Somewhere in Hollywood, someone said, "You know what? We can get the black audience, because this is what they were looking for. Remember, they had all that. It was Shaft. They had all black detectives, black this, and then they came up. We got to have a black vampire. And then somebody said, you know, black rhymes with Drac, and they said, how about Blackula? Because everyone knows why Blackula? Because everyone knows Dracula. That's why. Right? That's what I'm saying. They could have done a black vampire. It could have been anything. Like they did with, wait a second. What about Vampire in Brooklyn? Didn't Eddie Murphy play a vampire?
Yeah, but he had a mullet in that. And that was Wes Craven. It just wasn't as good.
No. I'm not even talking about quality. But the point is nobody knows that him as a black, Blackula is the African American.
But I also think it's because Blackula is a better film than Vampire Brooklyn. It's a much better film.
But
also, Eddie Murphy's a great comedic actor. Him as a vampire is bullshit. I ain't buying it.
Blackula rhymes with Dracula, and that's what they wanted to do. They said, look, we've found a black Dracula. That's what they were saying. We've got a black not any vampire. We've got a black Dracula. He's a Blackula.
His character's name in the film is Count Mama. I'm gonna butcher the shit out.
Yes, exactly. And
I'm not getting it right, but he was not known as Blackula.
That's what really nails it. If you'll excuse nailing, that's what really nails it. The fact that they would name it Blackula, because that would attract everyone. If they called it Count Mug, it wouldn't have mattered. But there were black people running over anything. We have a Dracula. Holy moly, we got a Dracula, this is great.
I think that era needs to come. I mean, honestly, Hollywood is too freaking wide. I think we need to have more black filmmakers.
I'm not against it. I'm using it as an ironclad evidence to my theory of Dracula being the one and only that anyone believes.
But William Marshall I seriously love him. It's funny because there's a whole other generation. And actually, I grew up knowing William Marshall, because this is my generation, as the King of Cartoons on Pee-wee's Playhouse. But William Marshall's a great Shakespearean-trained actor. And, not unlike Robert Corey in the Yorker films, really added a whole other dimension to that film. So.
Well, you're being so professorial about it because you know so much about it and you're so close.
I'm a geek.
and you're so close to these things. And I'm just trying to look at the universal picture. I mean, the name. I mean, it's a marketable name. It's a name everyone knows. And when you come up with anything about vampires, you want to use that name because everyone knows. And if this new television show was called The Vampire, X amount of people would think about the vampire. They guess it's about a vampire, I guess, you know. But you say Dracula and they go, look, it's the Dracula thing again. They know Dracula. Everyone knows Dracula. It's the same thing with Jesus.
That's true. Maybe you could have Dracu-Jesus.
Killing Dracula. This is going to be my going to work on this book and sell a billion copies.
It will sell. If you do it, I think you'll totally have a market for it.
No one else would ever take your place in terms of all this stuff on this show. Have a great Halloween. And, you know, we'll come back and we'll find more things to talk about, because the volume of your knowledge in this is endless. And I always appreciate it. Everyone loves you and your voice and your writing. Aside from your writing, you know.
Well, the love is very mutual. So anybody, definitely the appreciation's out there. And thank you again for having me yet again. On your show.
Oh, we're going to do it. Ever since we said we're going to do it again and again, we're going to do it again and again. You'll be back. And
I'm like a fungus you can't get rid of.
This is the fungus among us. No. Everyone go to Yahoo Images and look up Google Images.
Oh, God. Just go to my blog and go to Dangerous
Fiery Redhead.
Go to Paris Cinema.
Good night.
Read my writing.
Good night, Hedda. Good night. I'd like to say it to you. Good night.
Good night, Frank. Happy Halloween.
Same to you, dear. Good night.
Good night.
There goes Heather Drain once again. How fabulous, wonderful thing that we have with Heather Drain is wonderful. Here, Cthulhu Chronicles, huh? Who's that? That Heather?
That's Cthulhu over
him.
There. You know what I mean?
Hello, I know what you mean. I'm coming to get you. It's like, you know, it's like anybody can anybody can imitate them because you can do that. Actually knew a girl. I had a neighbor once who, I swear to God, she was Transylvanian. She was Transylvanian. I did see her walk around during the day, though, but I was always a little worried about her, you know. Forgot her name. Hey, my name is Frank Cotolo. Man, the name adorns the title of the show. I don't know what's going on next week. Go to the CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com. Become my friend on Facebook and find out what's happening there in terms of all this stuff. And just have yourself a heck of a time with it all. Google me. Do whatever you want to do. I want to say this to you, and that is that we'll... Oh, good night, Mrs. Ernstweil, first of all, wherever you are. And to everybody out there, you be good. See you tomorrow. I love you. I leave you now because I have nothing more to say.